Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's August 7th, 2012. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. Thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com, and we're supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal, GoodBeerSeal.com. Well, we spent the weekend up in Cooperstown, New York at the annual Omegang Belgian Comes to Cooperstown Festival, and one of the highlights of the event, of course, were the beers that we got to drink. Some of them in the official ceremonies, and others outside in the campgrounds were many brewers, home brewers, and beer enthusiasts bring their own beers, like on draft and in bottles, to share amongst friends for the whole weekend. And one of the young men who was up there, Mike Lavulo, he's the specialty brands manager for Union Beer in New York. He's here with me today on the show to kick it off. Mike, how are you?
I'm well, man. How you doing?
So, Mike, you had a great time up at BCTC, didn't you?
Absolutely. It was my seventh year in a row up there. We'll never miss the fest for anything. And yeah, it's just like a great gathering of industry professionals, you know, beer lovers, home brewers, you know, just everyone in, like, you know, in the metro area, I guess, you know, that flocks up there. Even some people from California that, you know, have made it out for a few years.
So what were some, so we know inside there's a tent with a formal tasting, and, mm-hmm. and there's all the beers you could think of from the Northeast.
Right.
Like, who is there?
I mean, I was most wowed by Lagunitas. They have a beer that they call something, Little Something Wild. Little Something Something. It's a 7.5% hoppy wheat beer, pretty much, American hops. They do a Something Wild version of it with the Westmalle yeast. And one of the special, most special beers that was there over the weekend was a goose blend of Brettanomyces that they had blended into the Something Wild and had blended, like, I guess, three different batches of it. And that was a big wow.
Was that from Lagunitas too?
Yeah, that was from Lagunitas.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you some of my favorites.
Yeah.
Inside the tent where their tasting was going on, Stonehead Saison du Bœuf.
Absolutely. It's great.
What is that beer?
Saison du Bœuf is, I believe, All-American Hop Saison. And it's a collaboration they've been doing. I think this is the second or third year with Victory and also Dogfish Head. So there's a different version. They're all, I think Dogfish Head is the most, the highest in alcohol, probably like about 7. But the Stone version, I believe 6.5 or so. You know, just really nice, light Saison that, you know, I love the Saisons are my favorite style, you know.
Yeah, but
you
the collaboration is really, there's a lot of really cool collaborations going on.
True.
We have one from Stone here today. You want to pull that ball out,
Mike?
Sure, yeah.
We'll
check it
out. It's More Brown Than Black, which is a collaboration between The Alchemist in Waterbury, Vermont, Ninkasi, and also Stone. Alchemist just makes phenomenal beers. It used to be a brew pub, and fortunately, Hurricane Irene destroyed the brew pub. Now there's a new location there, but they make... arguably my favorite double IPA, which is the Heady Topper. It's 8% IPA.
That's a great one. But what about collaborations, you know? I see more and more of them, and there's some specialty beers.
Yeah. I think it's just like ways for, like, you know, different brewers around just to, like, you know, recognize each other's, like, you know, niche-ness within all of their brews. You know, they're probably like looking at Heady and being like, you know, John, you know how to pick the best hops, make throw in the best hop additions, you know, in the beer and everything. And Stone is like the spearheader behind it, you know, obviously big fan of IPAs, and Ninkasi, you know they make some serious stuff. And also, you know, one of the biggest segments of craft beer growing other than seasonals is IPAs. And it's like, you know, you can only have so many just regular IPAs. You know, it's great, but we've been seeing a lot of like differentiations in the IPA category. And this is obviously a black IPA, 7.3%. And, you know, most recently, like about, I guess, 8 months ago, we started seeing white IPAs, you know, really big, you know, high alpha acid ales brewed with wheat malt, you know. But, you know, you really can't call it a wheat beer because, you know, it's as bitter as an IPA.
One of my favorite white IPAs, it was from Anchorage.
Yeah.
The Anchorage with Galaxy White
the
IPA.
The Galaxy, yeah. Anchorage, a lot like Jolly Pumpkin, you know, all their beers are sours, open air fermentation, barrel aging. And the Galaxy is actually is a single hop IPA using all Galaxy hops from Australia. So 7%, it's absolutely, you know, we've drank it together. It's just, you know, a really less of like, you know, the hop bitterness and more of that beautiful floral, you know, kind of like Chardonnay, you know, grape, you know, aroma rather than, you know, the big pine and citrus that comes from the United States.
Well, Mike, you have a good story. Let's just mention a couple other beers that I like.
I got to mention Sean Lawson.
So Belgian comes to Cooperstown. Favorite beers.
Allagash is that's one of my favorite breweries, if not my favorite. And they did a beer called I'm blanking on
Lawson's
that.
Finest. Actually, they had a session of the rye.
Session of the rye,
which
fantastic.
Was a rye session beer, 4.5%. White Birch, another one of your brands from New Hampshire.
Yep.
He had Hop to Wit.
Hop to Wit. Did you like that new? That's his new.
I really like that because the first our buddy Bill Herlicka, he's up in New Hampshire. White Birch. Some of his beers really did well bottle condition. They were stronger beers, stronger Belgian style.
Yep.
And Hop to Wit was one of the first that. He had that wasn't so strong. Like it was like 4.5%
or
something.
That's it. And
I also brought today his Harvest Ale. Let's pop that and we'll talk about it on air.
The Tavern Ale. Absolutely.
Yeah, the Tavern Ale.
Yeah.
Because that's new. And just so you guys know, full disclosure, Mike is the specialty brand guy at Union. And many of the specialty beers that I have at Jimmy's Number 43, he works with me to select and to allocate. So, you know, if I have a beer that's really good, probably Mike Lavulo got it for him.
Thank you, Lachimi.
Well, you've come a long way. I mean, this is why I want to talk about you, because when I first met you, you were like a home brewer.
Yeah.
And you were an enthusiast coming to tastings, and you've really worked your way up.
Yeah.
So how did you go? When I first met you in like 2005 or 6, you were coming to, as a consumer, to beer tastings. Did you have a job then?
Yeah, I worked. I moved here from New Jersey to join the teaching fellowship in New York, and I taught for a year, and on the side, I took pictures for L Street News. And did that for a year, and then finally, you want to do that for me? Thanks. Then finally, went to a lot of events and stuff, and I decided to make the transition. And one of the old employees of Union Beer was like, "I can get you an interview with the powers that be next week," and the rest is history.
So you started as a regular kind of a beat. It's like a beat reporter. You're a beat salesman.
Yeah. Not a beat. Like I just was like you know, regular sales rep.
But that's like a beat. You had a beat. You had
exactly.
your little
exactly. Yeah. That started.
Tell us how that works, because most people don't understand.
Yeah.
So you've got this whole island of Manhattan.
Right.
And you've got you started with this little strip.
Right.
Of territory.
When I started, it was so weird. I did just the West Side. I had to do from Bleecker to 43rd Street. 6th Avenue and West, that whole strip. And then they changed it around. They're like, more convenient, it would just be going river to river. And that's when I started being, you know, still your friend, but then your business.
For me and Blind Tiger and and some guys we got some other guests coming on right now. They're a little late.
Yeah. Took over where the Blind Tiger is and where you are on East 7th Street. And then about a year ago, while I celebrated, I've been working with
you. You worked your way up, because what you did was you were really into the specialty beers.
Mm-hmm.
You learned them like no other salesman, because it's like often the guys that come on as sales reps, they're either going to become a management track, or they're going to go off to another job. But you're one of the rare guys that stuck with it.
Thanks.
And really got to know the portfolio.
Yep.
And you really made a big difference for us, too. And we created the $10 tastings on Tuesdays at Jimmy's, which has been huge.
Through like 3.5 years.
Yeah, we pack it out every Tuesday. In fact, tonight, You have a stand-in, Tim Stendel.
Yeah.
Who's another great New York City beer guy. But let's go back to the other beers. So Hop to Wit.
Yep. Oh, also.
Let's talk about this one because we popped this. This is Tavern Ale from White Birch.
Okay,
let's
sweet.
Talk about this. And Ed Barastecki from Mug's Ale House and Dennis Flynn from Stone just walked in. Good to see you guys. Welcome.
Nice to see
All right.
Thank you.
We designed the show around you, Ed. I knew that you were coming, so we're just going to taste a lot of beers tonight.
Nice.
We bought some too, so we'll be tasting a lot.
He's got a whole cooler over there.
Yeah,
no, totally. Hey, come on, man. We come prepared.
All right. Let's go with this White Birch Tavern Ale. First time I've had it.
Yes. I'll give you a little rundown of it.
Yeah.
So, Bill, like we said, his Hop to Wit was the smallest beer that he's probably made at 4.5. This is his Imperial Smoked Brown Ale. It's 8.8%.
Ooh. Cigarette sounds. But tell us more, Mike.
Yeah. So Bill brewed just a big, full-bodied Imperial Brown. Really can't call it a stout because, you know, obviously close to the color and everything. You know, more of like dark malt character than like, you know, chocolate. 8.8%, and he actually has some of his malt. He sends some of his malt to a farmer in New Hampshire, and the farmer roasts over beechwood, like you would find in a lot of the Rausch beers from Bamberg, Germany. Like if you ever had, you know, Schlenkel & Meritzen or Oak
Smoke.
So
he bought malt already.
Yes.
Then he had a farmer smoke that malt.
Correct.
After the fact.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep.
That's innovative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ed, what do you think about this beer? I really like talking to you about beer, so. We're going to talk about a lot of beers.
I know, but I haven't tried this one yet. Give me a second. I'm trying to catch up here. We were caught in traffic, so give me a couple minutes, and we'll catch
right.
up here.
So we got that. And I'll tell you what else I like. I like Lawson's Finest. We said that the Session
You said
of
Session
the
of the Rye. I said, I mean, the Brett Cider was amazing that Sean had made. And the only other cider that I've had that comes, you know, near it or stylistically is Etienne DuPont, Cider DuPont from Normandy, France. You know, that really, they use like the wild yeast on the skin of the apples and, you know, really gives it that big, you know, acidic puckeringness to it. And he just nailed that to a T.
Well, another great part of walking around at the Omegang Festival were just the beers that people outside of the official festival were tasting.
Yeah.
And a woman, there's always this camp run at, it's called Blind Tiger / Dave Broderick / Vermont Tent. And all these guys, with Chad Rich from Prohibition Pig and Sean Lawson are there and Dave Broderick. And a woman whose name I regret I do not know gave me a South Carolina Goza, which is a German style sour beer. It was one of my favorite beers of the fest. Do you know who she was, Dennis?
I believe her name was Amy, but she's just a big beer fan. She actually brought over also I don't know if it was a gallon or more, a bag of Cantillon that she brought back from.
I've got pictures on my phone of her
it was a ridiculous beer.
I got pictures of her squeezing the bag and pouring it into Jimmy's mouth and Dave's mouth over the weekend.
Nice. Just like an old Spanish
So Jimmy
skin.
Jimmy, this is what you do on your weekend.
Well, I mean, the Omegang Festival is kind of like it's the ultimate Northeast regional beer convention.
That's why we can't
brewers.
Hang on weekends. You never invite me to this crazy.
The president of Mortgat Duvel there. We're hanging out with him, the COO of the group.
Actually, the owner of Le Chouf. He was there wandering around.
Chris,
he was just a regular guy. He was up on top of the hill taking pictures of the brewery. And I was like, you know, you should get your picture in there. And I didn't realize who it was until after I'd snapped the photo. And he was, you know, we were talking for a little while. And just a great guy. And I got to say, you know, Belgium comes to Cooperstown. The guys at Brewing Omegang know how to pull it off. I mean, it's probably one of the best East Coast beer festivals by far. I mean, just the fact that, you know, Friday night's a big hang with the industry guys, the volunteers, who are all usually passionate homebrewers. You know, they're doing their thing. And then Saturday is the actual festival. But, you know, having the movies that night and all the bands that were playing, it's a great time. And just, you know, it's really about the wandering around the different campsites, meeting all the people that are enthusiastic about craft beer. It's a great weekend.
I've got a question for you, though, because we've been friends for a good number of years through the business. But Stone, how do you fit into that picture? It's like a whole Belgian festival. I know you do the Cala Belgique and all that, but
yeah, but I mean, we actually this year.
You guys are big hop heads, like me.
We are, you know, Stone Brewing Company is a big hop focused brewing company. Mm-hmm. But you know, the things that we offered were Cali Belgique. We also did the collaboration, which was the first to blow. It was the Dogfish Head Victory Stone Saison de Buff.
We were just talking about that before.
Yep, the stone version just was flying. And then later on that night, we kicked the stone 11-11-11 Vertical Epic Ale.
Okay.
So a lot of people were digging on that, too.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot. But actually, you know, back at the bar, we have the old collaboration up on Bottle Special, which is the McKellar and the Stone.
Really? You still got the Saison?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the Belgian Triple.
Well, I know the requirements to go to Belgian comes to Cooperstown is any brewery can go as long as they bring one Belgian style.
Okay, yeah,
it can be any brewery in America, Belgium, you know.
Jimmy, I'm older than you, so I've married too long and four kids. And
that's why we have you out at the show. You're going to be on the show more because, you know.
I know, I have to get out. I have to get out of the house. You're right.
All right. Hey, let's give a quick break here. We'll be back in a few minutes and talk more about our favorite beers on Beer Sessions Radio. All right, you guys.
You're listening to Got a Thing on My Mind by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. My thing, it won't come true. Cause I ain't lying down till I get my dues. I got a thing on my mind. I'm sure I'm gonna find it. I got a thing on my mind. I'm sure I'm gonna find it. Now, good thing.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out here at Roberta's in Bushwick. I'm looking forward to a nice meal of probably pizza and some pork chops and some scallops. And we really chow when we're out here, and it's a great place to exercise, you know, beer and food pairings. And, you know, the same thing happened at Omegang this weekend. I was lucky enough to be a judge for the Top Chef competition, which is kind of cool to play on. Oh, it's Hop Chef, excuse me.
Yep.
Hop Chef competition. And they had done regional events in Philly, D.C., Albany, and in New York. And the winner was George Sabatino, a chef from Philly. But it was pretty cool. And there's a lot of things that happen at that festival. Number one is the beers outside of the fest. I mean, like I said, there's people at all these tents. Stone had a really cool setup. There was a minivan with Bloody Marys. And some other beers.
Oh, that hot sauce probably, too.
Yeah, there was a cool thing. What's his name? It's Michael, your manager?
So the rig, it's a Westfalia. It belongs to Michael Sacklad. He's the Eastern Regional Manager for Stone Brewing Company. Basically covers all the Eastern Seaboard. And then there's four of us underneath him that kind of are regional reps. So we've got Jeff Nelson. He covers the Northeast. I've got the Tri-State area. We've got Lee Marin. He covers the Mid-Atlantic states. We've got Scott Sheridan. He covers like the Southeast. And then we have Bethany, who pretty much covers the whole state of Florida by herself. So building the team together, and it's a great one. We call it Team East. So.
It was fun. And then from Captain Lawrence, Scott Vaccaro, every year he brings his own little rig, and he cooks a whole pig, and that's always a highlight.
That's fantastic.
And
I got to say, I always bring my La Quercia Spec prosciutto from Iowa every year. That goes in about 15 minutes.
Nice. Everyone,
I'm just giving
props
to myself.
You like feel that. Better about that?
Yeah, I feel better about that, yeah. You could also pick it up at the Meat Hook in Brooklyn.
Let's keep talking about beer. So Mike,
they're going to love you now.
We just poured me a beer. What did you pour me, Mike?
We just poured out the Stone Alchemist and Nikasi collaboration, More Brown Than Black. And I'm going to leave this one to Dennis Flynn to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is actually a beer that came about. And it was basically, well, previously we had done a beer called Japanese Green Tea IPA that we did with Baird and Ishii.
That was
and,
huge.
It was a big event because, I mean, it was a big brew. It was a tribute beer to the people of Japan, basically, as we cheer. And that was, you know, just to kind of commemorate the, well, not commemorate, but just a remembrance or just an acknowledgement that, you know, what the Japanese people suffered through the great tsunami and the earthquake. And that was a great beer, and all the proceeds from that beer actually went to benefit Japan Red Cross. And I think we raised over like $64,000 for that group.
Nice.
And, you know, just with the floods from Irene and how it destroyed like Vermont and all the damage that it caused, and obviously, you know, they lost The Alchemist, so which fortunately has reopened as Prohibition Pig. And if you haven't been up to Vermont, that's a great excuse to get up there and check it out. Wonderful place.
Have you been up there, Dennis?
I have gone by, but I haven't had a chance to stop in yet.
So, as a rep, what's your territory? Because you cover a lot of
territory. The tri-state. So I've got New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, whole states. So we're actually actively looking for somebody up in the northern New York region that'll cover also northern Jersey. And then,
if I was single, I'd take that job.
So, you know, it's a great time for craft beer. I mean, you know, we're growing. A lot of people are expanding their positions. Sales reps, obviously in need. But just to get back to the beer at hand, what we have in front of us is the Alchemist Ninkasi Stone collaboration, the More Brown Than Black. And what makes this a great beer is that it's a dark, you know, IPA, not necessarily a black IPA, mm-hmm. but brownish. And then also that the fact that we use the heady topper yeast to create this beer.
Fantastic. Big question. Thank big question that. Here. I have to interrupt. Any sixthels laying around? This?
I can say that I have two cases. I brought this beer from Jimmy's Number 43, so there are two cases there. Nice. It's not on the beer list. If you want it,
okay, we're coming. Ask for it.
We'll got to do the sixthel.
We're
going to
go right after.
what's Ninkasi? I haven't heard of Ninkasi.
So actually, what's great about collaborations too is that it allows some breweries to come into the state that normally don't have distribution yet, because this beer was brewed at Stone. It goes through the Stone distribution network, and Ninkasi is actually a great brewery out of Eugene, Oregon. They're known for their hoppy beers. They do a beer called True Believer, which is an IPA. They also have a double IPA called Tricera Hops.
It's a big one.
Yep. They also have a couple other ones that are awesome as well. So, you know,
I love this.
Yep. what's the one with the Slayer? It's a winter beer. So the Slayer font. You know that one that they do?
The winter beer.
Oh, this. Slay Rider or something like that. And Slay is spelt like the Slayer font.
I see that. But yeah, they're very popular in the Northwest, and you know, they're definitely growing. I remember visiting them for the first time back in 2008, and they had just expanded their brewery in Eugene, and I think they've grown even more since then.
Good.
Yeah, you know, one thing I like to do, and every once in a while I got lucky, I got this beer. When did this come out? Like 3 months ago or so? 4 months ago?
No, More Brown Than Black actually came out probably like November of last year.
Wow. So I've been holding on to this beer for a little while. Yep. And I do find that a lot of the special beers that have a little more strength or flavor, I've been happy holding them back. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that I don't get enough advice about that. Like, for example, you know, what happens is, okay, here's the coolest beer ever, you know. And you have to buy it now. That's what happens to consumers and to barns. We're all the same. We're fighting for the same beers. And then when I first taste it, it's like, wow, this beer needs more time to mellow and evolve. And I don't know if you ever go through this, Ed. Oh. But luckily, I took these Stone beers, More Brown to Black, and I stuck them in the back of my walk-in, and I just started pulling them out last week.
Yep. So, Jimmy, $10
and they, and I think they taste better now.
I'll come and yeah. take them off here.
They do taste better than, I think, 6 months ago.
You know, and the thing about, like, fresh hoppy beers, I mean, the typical routine is that you really want to drink IPAs fresh because, you know, hop oils, they're volatile, they'll break down, they'll change over time. But, you know, if I had to recommend to anybody what to do, buy three bottles, drink one right away so that way you get the fresh flavor profiles. Mm-hmm. Drink one in 6 months, see what it does, and then, you know, you can decide when to open up.
And we're not talking about, like, laying down for 10 years like wine, but, you know, with beer, it's like definitely, so especially the stronger beers, there's more complexity. I've had that happen with some of the Brooklyn Schneider Hop series. Mm-hmm. I had a couple kegs that were a year old, and the hops had really mellowed, and you know, it's just you've got to hold back beer, and there's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, you probably would say if it's over 8%, you might want to hold it back.
I have to comment on it because I know that a lot of brewers say, all right, well, hops should be fresh, this and that. I don't know. You know, I've had beers at Mugs where we've stored them where I've forgotten about them. And I've pulled them out 6-7 years later. Yeah, they mellow out, but the hops are still there.
Right.
A little more syrupy and things like that. But, I mean, sometimes it actually works in your favor that you age them because it takes that edge off. But I have to tell you, my SKI rep never told me about this beer.
Oh, there you go.
And I just had it for the first time in my life, and I think it's phenomenal.
Let's open another one. Let's make this the Stone Ninkasi Alchemist, More Brown to Black party
this is,
night.
This is definitely going to be a stone. This is going to be a stone event because this is unbelievable. I've never had this.
Well, only on Beer Sessions Radio.
That's why I'm coming to you.
It's
I'm
the
coming
only place
to Jimmy's.
You can drink it.
I'm coming to Jimmy's after this, and I'm stealing your two cases.
I brought two weird Scandinavian beers. We got to save some room, guys.
Forget about the Scandinavian. We're in America.
But this, we got inspired. We're up at BCTC. We're inspired. We're bringing out our favorite beers tonight.
And you know,
if you want to write in, or you know, just what's the Twitter? It's @beer_sessions. You want to Twitter us? Tell us your favorite beers. Let us know because we're getting back to basics. We're going to talk about beer. Right?
Well, yeah, we're going to do that. But we also bought a little bit of fresh out of a keg, the first keg in New York that we just tapped of the Stone 10th Anniversary Ruination. One of the reasons that we raced down here through all this traffic to get here. And we want to try a little bit of that, too.
So. All right, let's do that, too. There's room for more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So what are we going to break on
next? And Ed, since we're talking about, you know, aging beers, like, what do you have? Do you have like a big cellar? Do you have a walk-in cooler? Where do you keep all your extra beer?
I have actually a huge cellar. It actually drives my wife crazy because I try to store a lot of the oddball stuff in the coolers that we have downstairs. And I mean, I'll tell you, I not to go off on a tangent, but we had a Dogfish Head. I think at one of the Split Thigh Skull festivals that we've done, it was like 8 or 9 years old, and people loved it. They actually came out for it. I don't.
You
remember
had a worldwide stout recently.
Yeah, it was. There was one, but there was another one. It was either Immort. I'm thinking it was an Immort that was like.
Oh, the Immort L. Yeah,
it was like from.
And these are from Dogfish.
Yep. Yeah, these are from Dogfish. Not to get away from the stone thing, but you know, we had one of these. So aging for us is like I like to experiment. So I'll tell you the truth. I really have not had any beer that really has come up bad. I mean,
no.
And the oldest like keg form that we've had, I'm going to guess, is about 9-10 years old. Which sounds crazy for a keg, but.
No, it's worked. Not too long ago, Sam Barbieri from Waterfront Ale House, he too said he had a bunch of older beers that he was going to, you know, put on draft and stuff. But Mike, you also brought, we're talking about all the cool beers, so.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
This is, my beers aren't cool, so these are cool beers. I get it, Jimmy. All right. Yeah, right. I'm still coming to get those two cases.
I think they're like $8 a bottle. So.
Yeah, all right.
Before you guys came by, we cracked open. Actually, you tried some when you just walked in. Yeasty Boys from New Zealand.
The bartender right now, Roberta, said, "Hey, I used to work in that town." He said it was a ghost town in New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been to New Zealand. It seems like a cool place because there's a lot of different hop varietals coming from the Southern Hemisphere, New Zealand. Also, I didn't bring it tonight.
But what are the qualities of this beer? Yeasty Boys Digital IPA. First time I had it.
Yep.
It's also from Jimmy's Number 43.
Fantastic.
Again, something we have not on the list.
7%.
Actually, it's on the list.
7% IPA with all New Zealand hops. And there's a really popular hop called the Nelson Saw Vin hop from New Zealand that gives you just such a nice, ripe, like, you know, Chardonnay grape quality to it, you know? And when you're drinking, like, the high alpha acid hops from like, the United States, running like Yakima, Valley, and Washington, you know, you get the big citrus and pine, you know, the chewable, like, you know, hop character. This is more just like a really beautiful light bouquet, you know. The bitterness is there, but it's not overpowering. I kind of segue into it. Stone Ruination 10th Anniversary, big IPA. Dennis, you want to take it away? With this, as far as like brewing a big beer,
thanks, Mike.
These
guys rushed over here with a growler of this new beer. From
but I mean, are we gonna drink it while we talk about it?
Let's drink it and talk about it. Come on,
drink it right now.
All right. So we're not gonna be able to taste anything after this, but here we go. We're gonna be doing the Ruination.
That's
10th
for sure.
I brought.
So what is this? This is you have an interesting. I'm gonna explain. Yep. It's a very interesting thing. Is that a growler or what is this? A medicine bottle?
It's a 32-ounce growler, but it's a not a 64-ounce.
Is this yours or Ed's?
No.
It's actually
what is it, Ed?
Do you think I would show up with something like this? No. He showed up at the bar with this, and we poured it off the.
Well, you know,
tap.
Sometimes big beers
like
come in smaller
bottle.
Packages. I mean, this actually is a growler. It's from Beer Street,
but Jimmy,
it's a relatively new place that opened up not that long ago, right in Williamsburg.
It's beautiful. It looks like an old medicine bottle.
It's a 32-ounce growler, and some people like don't want the big jug of the 64 ounce.
Yeah, but this you want to have as much as possible.
Which I agree with.
All right,
man.
Quick rundown. Tell us what the beer is.
All right, guys, so just wanted to give you a heads up. So what it is the Stone Ruination 10th Anniversary IPA. So we've been brewing Ruination for 10 years now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think it's a... Thank you. A lot of people think it's like the first commercially produced double IPA on the market. So we haven't seen anything that refutes that. So we're going to lay claim to it. And then, you know, since we've been brewing it for 10 years, we decided we'd come out with a bigger, bolder version of it. You know, why not celebrate it?
Fantastic.
So Ruination on steroids.
Tell us a little more. So it's ruined.
Yep. So
it's a double IPA.
Regular Ruination is 7.7%. This is actually 10.8%. So we up the ante. We add more malts. And instead of the regular 4 pounds of hops per barrel, we actually squeeze in 5 pounds of hops per barrel. So if you know, you're a home brewer or you're a commercial brewer, you know and you understand that that's a ridiculous amount of hops per barrel.
What I love explaining to people, like, you know, talking about different beer styles and anything, it's like Ruination I used to buy all the time, and it's like, why do you call it Ruination? It ruins your palate. Mm-hmm. The alpha acids are so high that you really can't taste anything out. It's like having wax paper on your palate. I mean, I lived on the Upper East Side. There was like no places to go find a good beer. Gracidis had that, and they had, my god, something from Hebrew, the whatever, and like I was
Ripple,
just finished.
Maybe
oh no, it was the brown that he did. Messiah Bold.
Yeah.
There you go. And I would get a 6-pack of that and like 2 bombers, and that would last me about 2 days. And and would just finish the night with Ruination all the time.
Nice.
So after tasting this, I have to agree with my wife, like, because she calls anything that's bitter in an IPA, because I'm a hophead as they come. Ruination was one of my loves in life, next to my wife. But she calls it poison. And for her, she didn't ever try this, but she's going to try it, and she's going to call it definitely poison.
Poison.
On this note, tell us quickly, what's the festival that you do with something, Split Thy Skull?
Well, we have a Strong Ale Festival in the first weekend of March, which, you know, thank God now we've got the New York Craft Beer Week, I think, that week.
Yep.
And we're going to end it up on that week, and I think it's going to be pretty cool. I'm going to try to really blow it through the roof that weekend.
And I think this is the first weekend you're doing the Graded A Festival, right? Or is it the second?
No, we did this the second one. We did one last year. It's coming up this weekend.
What's nice. Graded A?
We're doing
a
Stone Age. Well, no, not Graded A.
Sorry, Rated A.
Rated, you know, we're both, we're probably all graded right now, but Rated, we are doing Rated A, which was I tried to do like a distributor series, like where I tried to get every distributor in New York to do a weekend with us and get away from like this brewery specific weekend events or events. And we did a Rated A weekend last weekend, and we're doing it this weekend, and we've got 40 beers over the weekend, 20 on Saturday and 20 on Sunday, where we're doing anything that was Rated A on the Beer Advocate website or the Rate Beer website. And anything that was the higher, that's what we took. And we're putting up, you know, 20 beers each day.
All right. Awesome. Hey, let's take one more short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
Something told me inside that your love was untrue. Something told me inside.
You're listening to I Learned the Hard Way by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
Just to be by your side, I would have walked through the fire. Just to be by your side, just to be by your side. Now it hurts me inside, just to hear your name.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We all just came back from Belgian Comes to Cooperstown, the great beer fest. I call it a beer convention up in Cooperstown, New York, hosted by Oma Gang. And every brewery that goes has to bring at least one Belgian-style beer. Stone was there, Alchemist. Who else was there? Gosh. Mike, what other breweries were there represented? Wandering Star was there.
Wandering Star. Yeah, Peekskill. Allagash.
Alex. You know, I saw some new breweries that I'd never heard of. I heard of, there was from upstate New York, Chatham.
Yeah,
Adirondack, we'd heard of.
Adirondack's great.
But I'd never heard of Chatham before. There were several other breweries.
Yeah, there's one I saw, like Good Nature Brewing. I'd never seen
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of new breweries upstate, which is
pretty
cool.
And they all had Belgian-style beers?
Well, they have to bring one Belgian-style beer to get into the
festival.
Well,
I mean, that's what I've seen in the
past. But what did you see? I mean, did you see predominantly Belgian IPAs or... Did you say Saisons? Or, I mean, you know,
no, it's all over the place. And one of them that, that Dennis brought was one of my favorite beers of the festival. It's the Stone Saison de Buff. Let's taste that right now. And let's talk. We're trying to be like, you know, beer geek out a little bit. So we're going to taste the beer. We're going to talk about it because we know that some of our listeners want to hear more about beer. So we'll, that's what we do. I'll show we drink beer. And let's just talk a little bit more about it.
Yep. So as far as Saison de Buff goes, this is actually the second reiteration of this beer. We actually first brewed this beer at all three breweries about a year and a half ago. And the idea
Wait, which breweries are part of this
so
collaboration?
So this is all Dogfish Head, Victory, Stone, Saison de Buff. So last year, or the year and a half ago, Stone did the first version. Then I think it was Dogfish Head after that and Victory, although the release was a little different. And a lot of people thought like the Stone version was definitely more herbal, just because we're picking fresh rosemary, sage from our organic gardens. Same thing this year. What you know? People ask, what does that mean, Saison de Buff? And basically, it was when the breweries were young,
naked.
way back in the day when you know, Sam Calzione, also Bill Kovaleski, Greg Cook, when they were first starting their breweries, you know, they wanted to put together a little conglomerate or like a group together, and basically Saison de Buff. Buff stands for Brewers United for the Freedom of Flavor, and the idea was like, you know, we
cheers
could
to that, man. That's like awesome.
Yeah, that is a great
I like
slogan.
That I was gonna say, are you sure they didn't brew when they were naked?
that could have been happening.
I don't
want to
think
the
of
back
this,
guys. I know you don't want to think about that.
That was way back when, and there's, you know,
it
happens. It's all anecdotal.
Well, you know, Sam Calzione is kind of macho, so
So actually, we were thinking about like getting together, maybe doing like an event called Bocce de Buff. We're trying to start up some bocce courts and all
that's
that.
That's even worse.
That's so yeah. Not I don't yeah. Let's not deviate. But well, I've heard a lot of breweries starting bocce courts,
and,
which
and,
I love.
And regardless, so the idea is like
bocce,
you know,
the what?
This is a great collaboration, and again, it was definitely a hit at Belgium Comes to Cooperstown. It was one of the kegs.
Let's talk about the flavor. So to me, it's like it's a little intense. There's like this hot. What's the hot variety?
No, actually, the hot variety, that's a good question. I don't know.
It tastes like very green and grassy.
Well, I think that's from the sage.
Well, what's amazing about it is, you know, it's obviously it's a saison that's been brewed with rosemary, sage, parsley, and thyme. So the way a lot of people described it was like Black Sabbath opening up for Simon and Garfunkel.
Nice.
Wow. I like that.
And actually what was cool was like about a week ago, Greg and Sam and Bill, unfortunately, there was technical difficulties. He couldn't get on. They actually did a live session, whereas like I think a Google Plus like live video webcast, where they actually sat down, tasted all three versions side by side, made comments, and actually people could call in or tweet or I think either Facebook comment and ask questions, and it was just a big back and forth. And if you were a craft beer drinker and you happened to have a Saison de Buff, you could be drinking it at the same time as all these guys, and you know, it was a nice interweb.
I have to say, I like this beer, but of the ones we've had today, Stone Ruination, the new generation. It did kill my palate. So what is it called? Brown to Black?
More
Brown to Black.
These two were really... I'm going to go back to the Brown to Black. Let's have that. And then, Mike, why don't you open your next beer? Let's try to get a couple more culty favorite beers.
Brown
to
Black is really... Wow.
Well, you know, and if we have time, we'll open up the two smoked porter variations as
well.
Let's
do that, too. Sweet. Yeah, we're going to get these in. Right. Let's try to talk about them in a, you know.
All right, let's crack open this one. One of my favorite breweries in the world is, I'm going to pronounce this correctly. I love doing this. Holmbryggeria.
Holmbryggeriet.
Yeah, it's from Norway. Yeah, it just means the hand brewery. I was fortunate enough to meet the brewmaster up at the festival that 12% Shelton did. This is a 7% multi-grain farmhouse ale. Holland Brigadier is like, I love, you know, you got to love the beers from Nugnio and Mikkeller, but these guys are really, really steeped in Norwegian brewing tradition. And what we know about Norwegian brewing tradition is, you know, back in the day, you would do a lot of barrel aging, you know, like unstripped barrels, get that kind of lactopedio, that really funky, like, you know, zesty acidity from it. This one is a 7% multi-grain farmhouse ale with malted barley, rye, wheat, and oat malt, and I believe spelt also. Not unlike the beers that were brewed in Norway back in the day, they kindle some of their malt over an open flame to actually, you know, roast the malt. So it's not going to be as smoky as a as you know, the beers from Bamberg, Germany, you know, the Rausch beer styles, but definitely has a beautiful smoked acidity to smokiness to it. I have to say something. Yeah.
I think we've poured some beers of theirs, I think, in the past, maybe one or two, and this is actually excellent.
On draft?
And
this,
I believe that we've had
this maybe on draft. I've sold you Norwegian brewery. Wood, which is their 6.5% stout, which is aged in red wine barrels.
From the brewery, not this beer, but this, I actually, as a hophead, think this is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ed, I would say for me that... You know, especially a lot of these specialty beers, especially imports, there's a difference between some in bottle and draft. And that's what our job is as bar owners, is to, like, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff. That some of these do taste good in bottle, and some often taste good in bottle. You know.
I got to say, out of the bottle, it's definitely more smokier than on draft.
I'll have a little more, Mike. That's how much I like it.
No problem.
For me, it's always about when I get a beer, if I like more than one or two or three, then I'm really happy.
But I have to say, this is the beauty of beer. I've always said this at the bar. Everybody finds their little niche. And you get these people that come in, and they like this style, they like this style. And that's where it goes. And in my eyes, that's the way we approach it. It's like you can't, like, force it down somebody's throat and saying, hey, you're an IPA drinker.
Right.
So Mike, and you're now the specialty brands manager.
Yeah.
Do you... go to places like Mugs as well as Jim's number 43.
Yeah. Mike never shows up.
So what are the top accounts?
This is the first time
I've seen Mike. What are the top accounts
that you visit? He was at the homebrew meetings years ago.
It's kind of been, yes, a 7-year reunion right now.
What did he say, 7 years? Did he say 7 years?
You look ancient.
Right, I know, I'm an old F.
So Hamburger at Nisafar. What is it again, Mike? Tell us one more time.
Oh, no, this is the Hagel.
No, but,
Nisafar is something else they have.
Well, I'm sorry. This is
he wants to drink more of that.
You want to drink more. You want to drink some Nisafar. Yeah. So, yeah.
I actually really do like, I like all the specialty breweries. I like them because I know that they are, many of them are making beer for the American market.
Mm-hmm.
So we get their best stuff, and they're making it for our crazy palates. Because we love the stuff.
Great segue into that, making it for the American market. I also brought an amazing gem from Nugnio Brewery in Norway. Nugnio does a lot of collaborations. A lot like Stone is they invite people to their brewery.
Well, we actually did a collaboration called a special holiday ale with Nugnio and also Jolly Pumpkin.
Oh, really?
Fantastic. And that was one of the only other collaborations that was actually done at all three breweries.
Did that ever show up in New York? Or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, good.
I
never got any of it, but that's okay. Sure.
Whoa. Track her down.
I still like
track this. Track her down, yeah, right.
So what we
are
got,
you Stone Rep?
We got here. Where are you going? You haven't even called on him in 7 years either.
One rep, 7 years, and another rep.
So Mike, tell us about the next
we got to talk about the beer, guys. So this is a collaboration between Nugnio and Terrapin Brewing Company in Athens, Georgia. This is a 9% Imperial rye porter. Okay.
Nice.
Another thing that's really like traditional about Norwegian brewing is with a lot of rye. Using like a lot, they actually have a rye bread recipe called the Rug Brood, which you know uses like three different types of like rye malt in it.
The Rug Brood.
Well, that's also there's a brewery called The Brewery that does a beer called Rug Brood. That's just the brewery from California, kind of noticing the style of Norwegian brewing.
I'm too old for this.
No, it's great. It's got that'll be coming back out in November. They used to do it year round, then they just let's just do a seasonal. So this one is, let me see ABV on this. I think it's like 9. Yep, 9% even.
That's what we really need right now.
So a collaboration between Nugnew and Terrapin in Athens, Georgia. Terrapin makes some fantastic beers. A lot of big IPAs.
So Mike, this goes back to the collaboration thing. So Ed,
yep.
Taste the beer, and I want you to tell us what you think of it. Because you're the ultimate taster.
Yeah. All right.
It's your new job.
Actually, no. Before I taste it, I have to say, because Michael, I know, even though I said what I said, I've seen Mike.
I think this is the most fun we've had in like 10 years.
Oh, I love coming here. I mean, I'd like to come here all the time.
If any listeners ever want to show up at Roberta's 5 o'clock on a Tuesday in Bushwick, you can come and sit in the show with us. You can drink beer with us. Exactly. People have done it. We have a great friend from UK who's been out twice. And please join us anytime.
We'll make it a Heckle Eddie event.
You can heckle me. I've been married for 20 some odd years. I've got 4 daughters. You could heckle me as much as you want, and it won't do anything to me.
But Ed, the 9% beer.
Well, then it'll be a kudos event because, you know, Eddie runs one of the best and original craft beer bars in Williamsburg.
One of
Muggs
the first bars to pour Stone.
What's the name of it again? I can't remember.
Right.
Are you Muggs?
No, yeah, I'm Muggs. My wife is Muggs. I pay the bills. No, actually, I'm going to get back to a serious point here.
Yeah.
The thing that used to blow me away was when Mick Keller showed up. I used to be looking at it, and I'm like, well, you know, why do we want to pour American styles
that are
from other countries?
Exactly.
Yeah, gotcha.
And I always question that, but I mean, you know, I'll tell you, I when I had the iHardcore U, the Mick Keller Brewdog combination.
Yep.
Oh, God.
That is a serious beer. That's talking about
was
9.5% beer that Mickle from Mickler.
I loved it.
Dude, it is one of the biggest IBU IPAs. When we talk about IBUs, we're talking about international bittering units. And they say the human palate can only detect up to like 80 or something like that.
Not mine.
No. We just go through the charts. This thing has got to be pushing like 100 on it. And it is like the beer for the hopheads. That is a fantastic beer. They still come out with now and again.
You know, Ed, when I go to your place, I mean, you really have a great selection of beers. And you have your old school beers, but you also have, you know, all the cool
stuff. We try to
talk about this
off.
Beer. Come on. This is the Nugnew Special,
Nugnew
Imperial Rye Porter.
Right. So
collaboration with Terrapin in Georgia. Ed, tell me about this beer. This is like huge and dark and dense, but it's still really good.
I have to tell you that I... a big Porter fan for years, actually, and for years in the early years in New York, especially, Porters for me were a safe style,
mm-hmm.
and it was a style that you never tasted a bad Porter, and truthfully, to this day, I don't think I've ever really traced it, quote unquote, a truly bad Porter. Mm. But you know, when they started breaking through the ceiling with going with Imperial Porters and coffee Porters and chocolate porters and this and that.
Right.
But I just tried this. And I think we've had the Nugnew. I think that we had, I don't know if it was the Imperial Rye Porter. We've had it.
I only got a few kegs in. I might have just told you what it was.
We've also had just the Nugnew Porter, which is pretty awesome.
Which I'm trying to figure out if it was the rye. We had a rye porter. I don't remember if it was the rye or the Imperial rye.
Okay.
But I fell in love with it when we had it on draft. And right now, I mean, the color of the head.
I don't know how you serve it. What I do is when I get a beer like this, I mean, this is 9.5% Imperial Rye Porter. And I have customers at Jimmy's Number 43. I will, like, usually they're ordering lighter beers, and I will give them like a half goblet each on the house. I call it a dessert beer because at some point it kind of does, it not only does it finish your palate, it finishes your evening. And that's how I see these beers. I don't know about you, Ed, at your place. Do people just come and order something like this and knock it down?
Something like this, we would probably do a 10-ounce pour, and it would be like, well, I mean, looking at it right now, it's beautiful. I like a tan head on the beer, and a porter, especially in stout. I love that. And, I mean, it tastes unbelievable. Something like this, I mean, we usually, at Mugs, we sample. Like, if somebody comes in, they're curious about it. If they're going to spend X amount of dollars for a beer, we'll give them a little sample, an ounce, you know, try it. If you like it, then, you know, it's yours, you know. But that type of thing is the approach that we have. Right now, I mean, this is great. I mean, between this and the Stone 10th anniversary, I'm having a good night tonight.
Right. Absolutely. Well, actually, it's going to be a good segue. I don't know if we got to take a commercial break, but if we come back, we'll get a chance to try two smoked porter, stone smoked porter variations. Smoked porter with chipotle peppers.
Well, how about this? We probably won't because our show's wrapping up, but tell us about those beers quickly.
Absolutely. So, you know, stone smoked porter, it's a 5.9%. It's a smoked porter that was brewed with, like, peat smoke malts. And then the variations we got, we did one with chipotle peppers that has come out in like kegs and also cask. Same thing with a smoked porter with vanilla bean, which I have to credit our brewer, Laura Ulrich. She came up with it because we actually do a dessert menu item from the Stone World Bistro and Gardens. It was the smoked porter vanilla bean float. So that's one of the dessert items, but we put it together and came up with this. So,
all right. Well, hey, we got to talk about some cool beers. We wrapped up Omegang Belgium Comes to Cooperstown. Some Goober Seal events happening in New York City. Tonight is Dogfish Head Night at Bar Great Harry in Brooklyn. Bar Great Harry is a really awesome bar. You should check it out.
Well, that's fun.
This weekend, August 11th and 12th, Mugs Ale House. Ed told us about it, but it's the Rated A weekend. And then go to goodbrewseal.com for other events, including coming up September 8th, the Rockaway Beer Fest, Barrels and Kegs, which will be cool. What do you want to say, Ed?
I just want to interject. We got the first keg of the Ruination 10th anniversary tonight at Mugs.
I will be drinking that tomorrow. Just want to also mention, tomorrow is the monthly Malted Barley Appreciation Society meeting, always happening at Mugs.
At Mugs Ale House.
Circa 1995, and Lagunitas is coming in tomorrow.
We've got the Fusion Barrel up.
Perfect. Awesome. Perfect.
And I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrews.com. I've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Brew Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Brew Seal. Thanks to Mike, Ed, and Dennis for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor, and our engineer, Joe Galarraga. On August 14th and 21st, you can tune in at our regular time to hear our special shows from Belgium Comes to Cooperstown at Brewery Omegang. We'll be back in the studio August 28th. Until then, thanks for listening to Beer Sessions Radio.
All right. That was awesome.
In my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization.
To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Should help me explain as a matter of